And then she sang good tonight.
Yes. I feel 100% Jordan.
Tell her pray for my daughter. She still ain't gone nowhere yet.
Well, tell her she hurt and had that baby.
Well, he told her to see you Monday.
Next Monday.
Tomorrow's her due day.
Well, ain't too far.
No, but.
If the doctor ain't worried about it.
Well, he's talking about Monday, they'll talk about either inducing her or doing a C-section, so. I'm looking for the C-section before we get it over with.
Yeah, get it over with. At least you don't have to worry about stuff.
She left complications to the baby.
Y'all, do you remember my little course that I taught y'all on? Thought I taught you? But we're not gonna sing it. I just wanna know if you remember. All right, if you have your Bible tonight, I'm gonna use two verses of scripture, both of them are different books, not out of the Bible, but in the Bible, two books of the Bible, in other words. I wanna share that with you so you wouldn't think I was gonna teach you to preach out something else. Matthew 6:33, and I'll read that to you. And also in 2 Timothy 2:15. You want to find them and look at them? Read along with them if you want to, but those two verses I'm going to read tonight. And when I start, don't say in your mind now what those two got to do with what you're talking about. Okay? Because I'm going to try to pull it in there to you at the time. So I hope that it can be a blessing to you tonight. And as we go in our Christian life, we walk our Christian life, and we are to walk our Christian life. We are to walk for the Lord and with the Lord every day of our life. Not a day should go by that we did not walk with the Lord and try to do something for Him. Can y'all hear me now? Did you miss one of them? Okay, Matthew 6:33 and 2 Timothy 2:15. I want you to think about something today. You know, a lot of times, people, when they're putting something together, and I'm bad about this, I buy something new and has to be put together, or you know, when your children are maybe 3 or 4 years old, 5 years old, you maybe bought a toy that you had to put together, different things like that. Every once in a while, you just take that direction that you had there and throw it aside of how to put it apart. I mean, put it apart or together. And so, I think about that a lot of times. What God's Word says about it, too. Now, I want to share with you tonight that thought. When all else fails, read directions. But I was reminded of this the other day when we bought a lawnmower. I bought a lawnmower for her to use. That's true. I did. One of these like this, you know. And I didn't really know that they still made those kind of those roll around like that, kind of push. I found one of those, and she was telling me about it, so we went and got it, and had to put the handles on it. And I think it took me probably an hour, and so I just put it down. We went somewhere that we had to go in and came back, and I sat down, and it went together just like that. I read a little bit. And that's the way it is. When people are trying to, you know, follow the Lord and not reading their Bible, not studying their Bible. I can tell you, and I go into places and houses and different places, and when I was pastoring, I went to red meeting houses and visited. Many times, I wouldn't carry my Bible in, because I realized that sometimes when you go to somewhere, somebody's house, and they're not saved, they kind of back up from you if you bring your Bible in. They see you coming with your Bible, and say, "Oh, Lord, here comes that old preacher again." And I know that has happened. And so I did carry it with me several times just to see what they did with theirs. Everybody probably has a Bible, don't they? Most everybody does. If they don't, then they can get one. But as we thought about that, we thought about it when we used to pastor and when we go visiting, and I'd not carry a Bible, to just to say to them, I said, "Can I use your Bible?" And you ought to see some of them's face. Some of them don't know where it's at. Some of them, they come, they go get it, and they come in wiping the dust off them, where they hadn't read it in a long time, hadn't picked it up in a long time. And that's the way it is with a whole lot of people. And keep that in mind. And I hope you're not one of them. But the Bible tells us in Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Then over in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, a church recently was advertised on a billboard, and they had a picture of the Bible, and this caption above it, it says, "When all else fails, read the directions," and it had Bible in parentheses. And now, we would like to enlarge on that thought tonight for just a few minutes. We probably all have that bad habit, trying to repair something or put something together. As I said a few minutes ago, we dive into that, assuming more than a match for the situation, only to discover that we are not a match for the situation. And we are not a match for the situation with the Lord either, because he made us like we are. He made us, and he didn't make us like we turned out to be, sinful, but he made us like him. And sin came into this world, and sin has been handed down from one man down through the generations, and there's still sin going on this earth. But you know, Adam and Eve was sinners to start with. They sinned after they were made, and after they was on earth just a little while. When the devil says, "All right, there's a beautiful," he put them in a beautiful garden, and the devil said, "Listen, Eve, there's that tree right over there in the midst of the garden," says, "Those apples on there, or those fruit on it, whatever you want to say." I say the apple all the time. "But those apples on that tree there, you can eat all you want to." God had already told them they couldn't touch it. So that's when sin came into this world. And by that man and woman's sin, sin has been handed down generation to generation. And we almost discover, if when we study God's word, that we should not be like we are. God teaches us some things from God's word, and we need to read God's word. We turn to the direction, in other words. We read them over and over and over again and try to straighten up the mess that we've already made many times. And then we can then fit in all those small parts and maybe some large parts that were left over when we tried to put the things together. And God gave everybody directions for their lives. And together, without reading these directions, many of us have tried to put our lives together. You see, some have made bigger mistakes and misses of their lives than others, but we all just turn to God's direction to make everything fall in place. Now, let's see how this works. Let's see how that the pieces of life are to be put together. As you say, well, I'm getting on up in age, and I am too. Don't feel bad. I'm getting up on in up in age too. But we say a lot of times, why? What's the use now to start? Well, now's a good time as any to start if you hadn't already. You know why? Because today is the first day of the rest of your life. Did you know that? Sure you did. I know you did. You just hadn't ever thought about it lately. But you know, some have made bigger messes than we have. Now, let's look at these things tonight as we, what are we to do, okay? Or what we're to do. First of all, read the scripture, Matthew 6:33, or I quote it is, we are to seek the kingdom of God. Are we not? That's one of the best things to start with, but to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things should be added unto you. Now, if we do that, you see, a lot of people made a mess of their lives, but by not reading God's word, by not putting the things together they should be putting together of God's word. So we know that. So as we look at this tonight, anybody who knows anything about a building, how many know anything about a building? Building, you do, don't you? Well, anyway, I can tell you this. I don't know a whole lot about it, but I can tell you this, that you have to start, first of all, by putting something there before you start putting on the roof. Right? You've got to have a foundation first. And friends, let God be our foundation in our life. Then, as you build up the walls, you put the 2x4s up or whatever you might be using. And then you put the wallpaper or whatever you put in there on the walls, sheetrock, whatever. But you gotta put all that on there before you put the roof on. Because you don't have anything to put the roof on if you don't do that, right? So you see, a lot of people know things about tangible buildings. But do we know anything about spiritual building? You see, people are not familiar with God's direction like they should be familiar with God's directions. This is the only way a life can be built properly is by seeking Jesus Christ first, seeking the kingdom of God first. We're trying to build by seeking, first of all, we try to seek all the money that we can get. Do we not? A lot of people do that. I'm not saying that any of us do, but I'm saying that people are like that. We seek money first. We seek power. Some people just can't be happy unless they get power over some money. They try to do influence, fame, material things, position. Nothing's wrong with these in themselves, but they should not take first place to our lives in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ must have first place. Now, why does the Bible, God's direction, tell us to seek him first? Because man needs a living God to sustain him in his life. Every one of us needs God, don't we? Sure we do. You say, well, I've got God. Praise God for that. Every one of us have, I'm sure. By your testimony, you do. When men are in trouble, they cannot pray to material things. They cannot pray to position. They cannot pray to money. They can't ignore God's direction and not put him first in his life and things that's going to do it. But when their world comes tumbling down, what then? Many people today keep going. So wonder God don't kill Jesus at the door there. Why? Because they're doing what they think they want to do. They don't have anything whatsoever in their mind about the Lord, in their heart about the Lord. Just keep on going, doing things against the Lord. I sometimes believe that some of them are devil possessed, really. I do. You know, God speaks of that in the Bible. We pray to those material things, and we ignore God's direction to put Him first in mind when things are going good. To see how to straighten out this mess that they have made, the first thing that they discover is they did not start with the right foundation. And we have to start with the right foundation. No other way whatsoever. Now, what's the result of not seeking God first? We will have a spiritual depression. And there's a lot of people like that today. They're spiritually depressed. It's hard enough in this life to get by without with God. Instead of trying to get by with it, without Him, the economists of our country are talking about an economic depression that will change the lifestyle of every American. But because men have not followed the direction of God's word, we have the greatest of all depressions right now. Greatest of all depression. And that is the spiritual depression. You look around you tonight. Look at other churches you go by. 10 or 15 years ago, more than that, maybe. Maybe less. Churches were full, weren't they? And right after, what was it? Oh, 9/11. Right after that, you couldn't hardly find a seat in the church. Especially on Sunday morning. You know, somebody told me this today, the other day, and I don't know what they said, and I want to share it with you right now. How many of you know what a CEO is? You know what a CEO?
Chief Executive.
It's the highest you can get in a company, isn't it? Or just about the highest anyway. Well, CEO in the Christian life is this. Christmas, Easter, home. And that's the only time you see a whole lot of people.
That's true.
Am I right or am I wrong? We are wrong. I know. I know that. 25,000 or more Americans each year take their lives because things have gotten so fouled up. There are a lot of them trying to cope with life by taking dope, by drinking liquor, by taking pills, and so forth and so on. Now, what has caused this downfall? Men and women have forgotten how to build. God's direction, the Bible, reminds us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these other things should be added to you. Now, let's look at the second thing. That was the first thing. The Bible, God's direction, tells us how we are to fit into His plan. It's His plan, it's not us, is it? Well, I'm often saying this. It's not you, it's not me, it's Him. And we need to learn that. He should be first in everything. And so many people, including me sometimes, I get off track. A lot of time, I try to put myself higher than something else. But you see, directions are no good unless they can show us personally what to do. And the devil has taught us that the Bible, God's direction, is so complicated that you cannot understand it. I might not be able to understand all of it, but I understand enough to know who my Savior is. I know when I got saved. I know when He came into my heart and into my life. And so many things that I do know because of God's direction. And they're not really complicated. And we really know to study God's Word. And we think about this and we cannot understand why we even bother to read it sometimes. This is not true. The Bible itself proclaims in Isaiah 35, verse 8, this, and an highway shall be there, and a way in it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the wayfaring men, The fools shall not err therein. Now, it's easy for us to try to tell others how to run their lives. I can sit here and tell you how you can run your life, but sometimes I don't know how to run mine. But I have to depend on the Lord and let Him show me. And we all ought to do that. And I think about it so many times that, you know, it's easy for us to do that. But the Bible gives the only direction for us and for other people also. You and I, in other words. I remember a story that was told to me one time about a little boy who was walking down through the woods one day, and he saw a big fellow with a gun in his hand. And he was hunting for bear. And the little boy said to the big man with the gun, he said, "If I was as big as you was, I would hunt for bears with my bare hands." He looked at him and he said, "Son, there are a lot of small bears out here too." And how true that is. God's word tells us for all the big things and the small things of life that we can do to bring glory to Him. You see, He didn't give each one of us the same thing to do. Nancy back there can sing, and I can't. God didn't bless me with singing. But she can't preach, and I can't. And I'm not picking on her either. I just used that for illustration. Maybe you can kill a big bear. Maybe you cannot. But you can find one your size and handle him. The reason I'm saying it is this. Matthew 25:15 gives an example. "And one unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several abilities." Small things are as important as big things in God's word. There's no little I's and big U's, or no big I's and little U's. We mostly see the exterior part of a car, do we not? When we look at a car, whose brown car is that? Yours? Bill?
No. Yeah, it was supposed to be a mail car.
Okay. Anyway, I was looking for it. It caught my eye. It's a neat little car. But I got to thinking about this too. As we consider a car, we mostly see its interiors, or interior parts, don't we? But no matter how beautiful, no matter how luxurious it is, it still would serve no purpose if it didn't have an engine, no engine parts, or like the transmission, the starter, the generator, the carburetor. And even those parts would be useless without that little rotary button. Would it not? I know Bill knows what I'm talking about, but if you don't. So it's easy in the life of a person that we would be following Jesus. The directions from the Bible, it tells us these little parts are as important as any bigger things to make His work and the church run smoothly. So when you have a small crowd, don't let it bother you that much. Just pray and ask God to help you to build it up, and that He would be first place in everything, and let Him do His part. And let's just be faithful ourselves. Amen. Be faithful coming to God's house, no matter how many we have. You see, in 1 Corinthians 12:22 says, "Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary." No big eyes and little U's in God's word, in other words. It's sad, but we find that some Christians become so disheartened that they can not be a bigger part, and so will there not be anything at all. But we know that although those who do the small task do not receive as much glory from people, still they're just as important as the other. We're all important to God's work. Remember that. And I want to encourage you tonight to keep on keeping on for the glory of God. You see, as we look at this, there was two women in the church, each with a job to do. There was one had that, what you might call a popular part. Say she's the transmission. The other had a less part. And what was she? She was a smaller part. Maybe she's the rotary button. You never heard or saw much about out of the rotary button. But that rotary button was responsible for leading or cranking that car. And it wouldn't crank without a rotary button. You see, that woman that was small, had a smaller job. She was responsible for leading more people to the Lord than anybody else in the whole congregation. So you see what I'm getting at? When all this is, read the direction, you'll find that it tells the importance of the small parts that are often disregarded. In other words, you don't get much praise from people when you know, just a small part of that, so to speak. But who knows? I can tell you this much. If you eat God's will and you're doing what you can, God looks at you. He knows you. And he's telling you, you're going to have a reward one day. I believe in that as much as I believe that I'm standing here right now. All right, let's look at the third point. Hurry on. I don't know what time we're going to get out, but you'll get out by 9:30 at night. Okay? I can almost promise you that. God's directions tell us how that we can help be healthy spiritually. Would you like to be healthy spiritually? I know Brother Bill's got that bed back and some of the others talking about probably health problems. I got health problems. My wife got health problems. I'm sure most of you said it. But we think about those healths, our health spiritually, or we should more than we do physically. It amazes me that most prayer rooms and most churches, when you ask for prayer requests, they pray for people that's sick. Why aren't we asking God to save those that are not saved? I realize that I'm healthy spiritually because I don't know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. That's the worst health you can have. You see, a man can eat all the nourishing food that gives his body strength, but it's to no avail until he uses the strength that it makes for his body. He has to use it daily. And God directs that we use our spiritual strength daily also. You see, the Bible directs us to take one spoonful of communion with God for each meal. You believe that? Psalm 55:17 says, even in the morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. A lot of people take vitamins to strengthen their physical body each day, but they'll not take their spiritual vitamins like bowing their heads, thanking the Lord for their food. No wonder their lives are amiss. They will not follow the directions. The Bible directs us to take a tablespoonful at bedtime, Ephesians 4:26. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Most of you here this morning, or this afternoon, excuse me, would not think of laying down to sleep tonight without bathing or brushing your teeth. Yet some of us lay down with a sore conscience that's stained with hate, jealousy, stuff like that. No wonder that their lives are all messed up. They will not go by the direction of God's word. But I'm here to tell you, you need to, all of us. When all else fails, read the direction. And the Bible directs us to be conscious, cautious. Some things I have it for me. And they're not all good things. For example, telling little white lies or distorting the truth, also gossiping and many other things. If we do not follow God's direction, keep these things out of our life, we'll find things just do not fit together right. They tell us to abstain from all appearances of evil. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The devil's going to try to convince us that sin is not harmful, that it's healthy. But let me say to you, it is not healthy, it is deadly. What's the Bible say in Romans 6:23? The wages of sin is death. But it didn't stop there though, did it? And I'm glad it did. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I praise the Lord for that. A lot of people were shocked recently by the news that a daddy put some candy, some Halloween candy, and took some and put poison in it and gave it to his own son. Well, things are like are happening every day. And we listen to them and we think about it for a minute, and then most of the time it's forgotten. We ought to be praying for those people that like that. He could do it. Such a thing, just like millions of people are doing today. Spiritually, mom and dads murder their children spiritually by listening to the devil, not trying to help them. Children live for Christ. It's poisonful. And there's a time that they really need it, isn't it? Sure it is. Do not be deceived about sin. God's direction warns us not to touch it, as if we would warn a man not to touch a high voltage line. We'll tell that man, that woman. See, that was Adam, could not get away with it. That was David, that was Samson, that was Moses, there was others. Even Satan himself could not get away with it. But Jesus took our sins upon himself. In other words, he paid the price. He paid the debt. So if we follow the direction in John 6:37, what? And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. We can gain entrance into heaven. Let me ask you this tonight. Have you made a mess of your life because you have not followed directions, the Bible? I ask myself the same question many times. There's still hope for us, though. You can come to Jesus and even start right now. Even if you've been saved for a long time and haven't been using his direction, his Bible, and studying God's Word like you ought to, you can start right now. He'll make something of the rest of your life if you'll do that. And I encourage you tonight, live for the Lord the best that you know how. And he'll bless you. And guess what? You can go to heaven. Because now living for him is not all it is to it. That's important. But the most important part is where you start. Salvation is of the Lord. And once you got that, you can go to heaven. You can go and get in by the skin of your teeth, or you can go and have some rewards. I tell you, I may not be the best Christian. My wife probably tell you that if you ask her. But there's one thing for sure. I don't want to go in empty-handed. I praise the Lord for God letting me, especially, be part of some people that's been saved. to come to this altar and initiate that service and pray before we go home tonight. See, I need to go before now.